Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey now. Hello, hello, hello. Is my mic working? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. My camera is working. Let's see. The sound. Well, I'm not playing any sound from that monitor, so that's good. Good to see you, Eric. Good to see you, Ty Farns or Fams or... I'm getting old. I can't read that far over on the chat, but I hope you guys are good. I'm going to wait for some people to pop in, and then we'll get started. What's up, everybody? So who's winning the Super Bowl? Hey, everybody. Who's your Super Bowl picks before we get started? Does anybody care? Is anyone even out there? But as you type those in, as we get started on here, I want to give a shout out to my friends at High Brew Coffee. You ever wonder, what does Tom drink in the morning? What's his morning routine like? I don't post my morning routine like one of these inspirational gurus. You don't see me in my ice bath or my sauna first thing in the morning. But the one thing I do consistently every morning is I drink my High Brew because I am a cold brew snob, and every other can I've tried is hot garbage, okay? But this, first of all, I'm a caffeine nut, so it's got 225 milligrams of caffeine, which is insane, but it's not bitter. I put a little almond milk in it, but I had one this afternoon, and I didn't have any almond milk in the fridge and drank it solo. It's smooth, and it's delicious. So everybody go check out High Brew. Shout out to them. And why not? Everybody's saying I hate sports. Probably Chiefs. Ah, PJ in the house, my morning routine. You're the only person, bro, who would watch that. No one would care. Your morning routine is better than mine. You're in the gym at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. I'm sitting and usually working on the couch and watching the NBA game from the night before because no one in my house lets me watch basketball. So my only time to watch is at 4 to 5 a.m., 4 to 6 a.m. before anybody wakes up. So that's what I do in the morning and drink cold brew. That's it. That's my routine. Nothing exciting. So good to see everyone else there. By the way, we just did a merch drop that I want to show you guys, and I'll show you guys later too. The spring merch drop just launched. Let me go to my transition. Let's see if it works. Hey-o! It worked. Let's see. So shout out to Chris for putting the site together. He did a really good job. But the anxious, the 8-bit, somebody suggested making that 8-bit, like anxious cat tea. And I was like, 8-bit, I guess, I'll give it a shot. So I had somebody draw it up, and it's by far the most popular item. I am wearing one right now. Let's go back to me. Cause it is the Tom Ward Show. It is all about me. So I love it. I love it in white, the white hoodie. I like the cat. I like everything about him. So we've got that. The other thing you guys asked for too. So we've got hoodies, but a lot of people wanted to see the hate and disgust merch, which is funny because I say that all the time. If you're an H3 fan, you know they always say with peace and love. It came from Ringo. Howard used it and made it popular. With peace and love, peace and love, peace and love. And I always say with hate and disgust because I wanted something that means the complete opposite of peace and love. So you guys always find that funny for some reason why when I say it. So you asked for that. So we got hate and disgust tees, sweatshirts, the Valentine's Day. It's almost, I should take that down because it probably won't arrive in time. And then we just have the old school Tomcat stuff, straight up anxiety tees and hoodies, which came out nice. And then just the regular OG logo. So go check it out, thetomwardshow.com. Super Hams, my sweater is awesome, cool. Tomcats, I'm making a sweater crochet. I love crochet. Crochet is life. Okay, sure. Why not? I can't wait for the Taylor chat. All right, well, I'll string you along. In the business, we call that a teaser, people. We'll talk about that later. But I have been obsessed. Obsessed is the best word to describe it, with the McBrooms, okay? I really need to start a second channel where all I discuss is Austin McBroom. I hate him. I think he's an awful person. I say that with hate and disgust. He is an awful, awful person. He's a scammer. He'll do anything for a buck. He doesn't pay his bills. He scams his own fans. I mean, the list is endless of, you know, bad things about Austin McBroom. But I gotta say, I have been glued to my phone watching all of this divorce content, and I am loving it. Loving every second of it. So before I even get into, and I'm going to show you clips and stuff, we'll get into that. But before we even get into that, who's the real jerk off? Is it Austin or is it me and you? I think the answer is us. I'm sorry to tell you, but we're jerk-offs, okay? For watching all this shit. Because Austin has been in the YouTube game for, I don't know, what? They've had kids, they're a family channel. I'd say 10 years, maybe. He's got like 15 million subscribers on YouTube and millions more on social media, right? So he knows the game. He's going through a divorce. And he has got everyone watching his snaps and they're making fun of him and they're clowning him. But so what? Snapchat is paying the highest revenue per any social media platform out there. Snapchat is where the money is right now. It varies. You know, sometimes Instagram is pushing reels, so they'll pay creators more. Sometimes YouTube's paying creators more. But right now, all the money is on Snapchat. But if you look at even Snapchat's website, and I've talked to people who, you know, post on there a lot, it's a lot of work. Like, you've got to post between 30 and 100 snaps every single day to make some, you know, real money. Austin's posting and people are watching, millions of people are watching every single one. So we can make fun of him complaining about being sick, and we can make fun of him for the mobile house, you know, that he was living in a mobile house in front of his ex-wife's house because he had nowhere to go, and we can all clown him on that stuff, but guess what? His check, what he's making this month just based on those Snapchats, is more than I'll probably make all year. So I don't even want to give shout out to Austin because I hate Austin, but he is having the last laugh. You know, we think that we're having the last laugh. All these people who are making Snapchats and showing him crying or talking about being sick or wearing that stupid headdress that of his wife's on his head. He's wearing like this leopard skin headdress. And they're making all these commentary videos. And, you know, we all think, ah, ha, ha, we're so hilarious. We're so funny. We're getting everyone to hate Austin. Aren't we great people? We are just great people, unlike Austin McBroom. But Austin McBroom is looking at all this nonsense and laughing all the way to the bank. And I'm a little slow, people, okay? It took me 3 times to get through pre-calculus in school, okay? 3 times. I had to drop it the first two times because I was going to fail the class. So I dropped it before I failed. And the only reason I ended up passing it was my teacher, who was nice, and she liked me for some reason. she got married and she was moving to Nigeria right after the semester. So she just passed me. She gave me a D or maybe even a C as like a blessing, as like her final gift to an American student before she left. So I'm not the quickest, you know, I'm not the quickest guy out there. So it took me a while to realize and put all this together that Austin is winning. Yes, as much as I hate to say it, people, Austin is winning. Does that mean we're losing? Some of us may be. I don't know. I don't know your situation. Maybe you could be losing. I like to think that everybody watching, everybody here now, everybody watching this later on the replay, I think we're all winners, okay? But in this case, I think we're losing. I think we're losing, people. Does that make me feel good? No, it doesn't. And am I going to play for the next half hour Austin McBroom videos and make fun of him? Yes, I am. Am I a fool? Yes, I am. But sometimes we have to accept some hard truths about life, people. When you get older, you got to accept certain things, right? I had back surgery, okay? I used to box 5 days a week. You know, I'm jump roping 3 rounds to get warmed up. I can't even jump rope 1 round right now. I boxed on the heavy bag for 20 minutes and had to stop yesterday because my back hurt. Hard truths, people. You got to accept them, okay? And I think Austin winning right now is a hard truth. We all just need to accept, people. It's not something we want to happen. It's not something the world needs to happen. Okay, we need a tragic fall, and we need him really living in not the luxury RV that was parked in front of his ex-wife's house. We need him living in a 1985 Dodge Dart on the side of the road, okay? But at this rate, he's fine for a long time. So before I even get into the Austin videos, which I will in a sec, I have not been watching the chats, and actually, my girl Freya, I had to, do no mods for a while because, the revenue from YouTube has just been awful lately. So, like I would literally lose money per stream if I paid, not Freya, but just paid anyone to mod the channel. So I had to hit pause on that for now till we get people up. So, make sure you recommend the show. And I gotta start posting at a more regular schedule too. I've kind of been all over the place, but we'll get back. What are your thoughts? Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I crazy? What do you think? Austin is laughing to the banks at Sydney. Exactly. And Cappy Napped, yes, everyone is a winner. Everyone on here is winning. Erkness, burn update. The hand is good. That's my knuckles are a little red because when I get anxious, my hands get red. But has nothing to do with the burn. The one on the leg was bad, but it's almost healed up. So it's good. Then I'm still doing the sauna too. I just place like a cold rag on it when I go in. So back to sauna. You think it's a win because we're all laughing? What are you laughing? Oh, because we're laughing at Austin, it's a win? Yeah, want to be right or you're right. He is winning, but it's not sustainable to be pathetic. Well, I don't know about that. I think being pathetic is sustainable. Let me think for a second, people. Like I said, I need some time to collect my thoughts. There's Rodney Dangerfield. There's a perfect example. He always played the loser. You know, I can't get no respect. No one respects me, right? That was this whole rap. and he built a 40-year comedy career on being pathetic. So I think being pathetic actually can, in some cases, be sustainable. Crying Knife, you're so right. Being pathetic is the biggest market, though. What's Boogie 2988? I'm out of the loop on that. Eric, my voice is mainly on one side. That's strange. How's the audio, guys? Is it okay? I thought I set it up. I got a new thing I could play with it if you want. But it shouldn't be in one side or the other. It should be coming out of both channels. Fine. Oh, you can only hear me in the left channel? Are you serious? Oh, that's bullshit. But in speakers, it's only on the left side. Huh. Well, hold on. Do I want to mess with that? Should I mess with that, people? We can't have bad audio, can we? Good volume, balance is off. So, let me look here real quick. Hold on. Oh yeah, I think that works sometimes. How's that? Is that better? Are we in both ears, people? Here we go. No, LaCosta, you cannot just live with bad audio. We need good audio. Now I see both levels way up. It works! Guys, I'm becoming a real streamer who can... I'm a problem solver, people. I can fix things on the fly, all right? That's how you get things done. So I got to follow the Boogie thing, yes. But first, let's get into Austin. We've been talking about him long enough. Let's get into it, people, as I sip my Perrier. Da-da-da. Look at these transitions. It's unbelievable. I don't know how we do it. All right. So we know the story. See, look, I have notes. This takes me entirely too long to put this together. So January 11th, they announced their divorce, just to give you some backstory. Usually you would think, because especially when you have kids, you would take some time. A normal person would take some time off. Actually, here, back to me. We don't need Austin in the shot when it's not absolutely necessary. All right. So you get divorced, you got kids. Even if you're in the social media game, you take a break, right? Even if you don't give a shit about your ex or your kids, it's just a bad look for you. So do it for your career, right? You take a little break. Hey, and then you post some spiritual stuff, right? Maybe you're lighting a serenity candle. Maybe you're relaxing in a sauna or you're away at a retreat and, you know, the caption is just clearing my mind, or this has really made me rethink my priorities. Okay. That's the content you post. Okay. If I go through a divorce, that's what I'm doing, people. You don't know how I really feel. I'm probably angry and pissed off if I get a divorce, right? And mad at the world, but that's not what you're seeing. You're going to see me serene. You're going to see me Jay Shetty version of Tom Ward. I'm going to be quoting from the Bhagavad Gita. I don't even know how you say it, but this is better. I'll be quoting from ancient Sanskrit texts. Okay. Some deep thoughts, from Confucius, I don't know, some deep philosophers. That's the kind of content you're going to be getting. And then once the smoke clears, we get back to the no-nonsense content, right? But not Austin. So they announced their divorce January 11th. And he's posting, we just talked about, more content than he ever has. I don't know if he's unhinged or not. I wish I had somebody modding right now, because I would like a poll to see, do you think Austin's unhinged or not? I don't think he is. I think he knows exactly what he's doing and he's killing it. He's succeeding at it, but let me know in the chat. I'll read the chat in a second. So let's go to the video. Make sure we got my audio together. Yep. Let's see. So he's creeping on Catherine's Snapchats. Catherine is out looking fine with another good looking friend. Looks like she's at a club or something. Austin asks, where is she? Okay. Like, dude, it's your ex-wife. Don't creep her, okay? She doesn't want to be with you. Don't show up at the club. Who cares where she is?
She went out. And she went out with some friends. And then I starts to think to myself, like, should I start going out with my friends? I don't know, like, maybe I should start going out with my friends. Maybe you guys can give me some suggestions on where I could go, what I can do. If there's any nice restaurants I could go to, please comment them below. Maybe it'd be good for me to start getting out, you know? Even though I'm focused on myself, maybe I should, you know, just start enjoying life, right? Like,
and then he posted a picture of Catherine out with...
I'm so dumb. I am so dumb. I didn't show the video. Because I didn't want to show Austin. I'm really losing it. Yes, yes, Riley. Tom, you got to share the video when I'm playing a video. Yes, you are correct. So, as they say in the hip-hop game, let's run it back, people.
I saw that she went out. And she went out with some friends. And then I starts to think to myself, like, should I start going out with my friends? I don't know, like, maybe I should start going out with my friends. Maybe you guys can give me some suggestions on where I could go, what I can do. If there's any nice restaurants I could go to, please comment them below. Maybe it'd be good for me to start getting out, you know? Even though I'm focused on myself, maybe I should, you know, just start enjoying life, right?
Like, and then he posted a picture of Catherine out with her friends.
Yeah,
and
look,
asked
so that's what
where.
He posts, a picture of, first of all, shout out T-Spill. T-Spill, my favorite tea site out there. They keep me plugged in. Look, I'm an old guy. I don't have all day to sit on TikTok and follow this stuff. But I can go to my girls at T-Spill and they always deliver. And Spill Sesh too. I like, they're my favorite ones. But then he posts a picture of them out and asks what club they're at. Like, what are you talking about? So that's the first thing. So he's creeping. Then he's asking where Catherine is at the club. And you know what? It was so funny. The girls in the video talk about how, remember he had that video, and I don't really feel like showing it right now, but I'll do my impression, right? Hey guys, first of all, just picture me in my car. Yo guys, I'm locked in right now. I got my brain right. I'm going to church. I'm prayed up. I got my spirit right. I'm hitting the gym. Now I'm not eating as clean as I need to be. I'm not eating so clean, but I'm hitting the gym. I'm getting my body right. I am locked in, people. If you are in my circumference, if you're in my gravity field, my aura around me, then you know that I'm locked in, people. That is how Austin McBroom lives his life, locked in, okay? That is what Austin was when right after the divorce. He was locked in Austin. And that didn't work. Everyone made fun of him, but the pathetic Austin hey, you know, hey guys, first of all, look, can we get a fit check for that, for his outfit? Can we get a, the only guy in the world who can wear that hat is Cam'ron the rapper, Killer Cam, especially with the pink jacket. I mean, my man Killer Cam, if you're young, you don't know who he is, but Cam wore all pink when nobody was wearing pink, right? And Austin, who dresses you, bro? Not that I'm the most fashionable guy in the world, but I mean, I got a little swag to me. I mean, who's dressing this for? All right? I mean, I'm just getting distracted now. But the point is, people like, or just based on numbers, pathetic Austin McBroom content is performing way better than I'm locked in, bro. I'm prayed up. I'm good with the man upstairs, people. I'm getting my mind right. People around me know I'm locked in. Everyone, when I walk in a room, the people closest to me can just sense that I'm locked in. They just know. They can feel the energy and the locked in-ness that is emanating from my body. They can just sense that. It is that powerful how locked in I am. People don't give a shit. People think this is ridiculous. People know he's not locked in, okay? He's not locked in on shit. So his life is in shambles. So the pathetic content is working. So let's see if I have more examples of this. Okay, so, and to Catherine's credit, so he's using all of this divorce stuff for clickbait. Everything is about the divorce. Everything's about Catherine, Catherine, Catherine. Now, Catherine, if you go back, maybe if you go back to right after the divorce, the first video I made, I talked about Tom Ward as Catherine's PR guy. Okay. And what I said is exactly what she's doing. And I was right. And it's working. Because of course I'm right, people. Of course I'm right. I know my shit. All right. I've done this long enough. I've been on YouTube for a while. I know how these things play out. All right. I told, in case you didn't watch, I said, if I was Catherine, I would separate myself as far away from Austin as I could get. Okay. I wouldn't mention him. I wouldn't talk about him or take any shots publicly or say anything negative about him. No matter what he's saying, I'm going spiritual, baby. Just like I said, you know, if I'm going through that divorce, you're seeing spiritual Tom, like locked in Austin McBroom. You're seeing spiritual Namaste Tom. And I said, you need to see Namaste Catherine. And that's what you're seeing right now. She's a step away from going on Oprah and writing a book that's in Oprah's book club. Okay. Pretty soon she's going to be hanging out with Gwyneth Paltrow. That's the kind of level that she's got to get to. That is the end goal. Okay. She doesn't need dude fans who think she's hot. She needs girls. She's got to double down on the girl audience and sell them candles and sell them journals with bullshit quotes she stole from people. Just nonsense, right? Nonsense products. That's what she needs to be doing. And she hasn't followed my complete game plan yet. But if her PR person's listening, which, by the way, they may have been listening to me, and I mean, she's doing what I said she should do. I think they'll continue down this path. And pretty soon, you're going to see her hanging with those kind of people. You know, who knows? She'll be in a video cooking with Martha Stewart next, okay? That's where she needs to be, okay? So, hats off to her. No matter, Austin's using this for clickbait and views and Snapchat. Catherine isn't doing it. I mean, maybe she has. She's smart enough with all the scams that Austin's been through over the years and all the people who've sued him and all the people he hasn't paid. I'm sure if I was her, I would have my grandma used to do this. Back in the old days, when if you were a woman, it was hard to get a high-paying job. So you would try to protect yourself and your kids, right? Especially if you had like a D-bag husband, and you would like squirrel away money, right? Every week you would, you know, dig into the paycheck and take a little out, put in a separate account stuff, like a divorce fund, like just in case, right? I'm saying if I was Catherine, I would have started that divorce fund a week after I met him. So I'm sure she's fine financially, or maybe she's not in like a great financial position, but maybe she's not just greedy like Austin and trying to, you know, suck every single penny out of every possible viewer as he can. So, I mean, I think everybody's on Catherine's side right now. And then, I mean, just some more examples of him. Oh, let me share my monitor, people. Just some more examples of him doing this stuff. It's like, look at this.
He's been applying to jobs at CVS, talking about how he has no money and needs to take the bus. He's been selling lemonade as a side hustle. And at the center of this whole plot is the RV. Remember, Austin said that he got his new house, he showed himself living in it, then realized that he could monetize his downfall big time, and suddenly something fell through with his home and his only option was this RV. Catherine actually got a lot of backlash for this because people truly believed Austin was in a bad position and had to live in an RV parked outside.
Do you believe that people actually thought he was so destitute he had to live in an RV? Are you insane? Are you crazy? Allison, thank you for me looking gorgeous tonight. I appreciate that. That's a great compliment for an old bald guy. But Catherine actually had to respond because she was getting so much hate from this stuff. She hasn't really talked publicly about this, but she was getting so much hate. Like, you know, basically, what a bitch. How could you let him be out on the street and you're in this beautiful house with the kids and poor Austin? I don't know who in the world would say that, but apparently enough people did that she had to kind of comment on it.
...of her house. I guess a lot of people were probably sending her hate messages for not allowing Austin back into the home, and Austin had to get on his snap and try and clear Catherine's name.
Don't come for Catherine, because she also offered for me to stay at her place. So don't come for her, acting like she ain't supporting me or helping me.
And as soon as I saw this, I just thought, this is so obviously fake, and Catherine's probably pissed at Austin for putting her in the position to get backlash over something that's not even true. You just know he probably rented this RV as like a set for his snaps.
And then, so then Catherine comes and defends herself.
Is fake. Someone asked her, how do you feel about Austin living in an RV in your backyard? And Catherine said, wait, y'all really believe that? And I mean, I guess you could take this as her saying that he's not actually living in her backyard.
So Catherine is basically calling him out saying, you idiots, you think he really is living there? This is all fake. Guys, what don't you get? You know, I don't believe you're falling for this. So she's basically saying the whole thing was fake, which these idiots who were like hating on Catherine should be embarrassed that they even thought the whole thing was real. I mean, maybe people are dumber than we give them credit for. And just everybody thought it was a scam. Here's some just comments from people.
Everybody fully believes your guys' divorce is all a lie. And Catherine responded, sis, the collective consciousness knows damn well I left that. Anyone who thinks otherwise is new here. Y'all, please don't ask me this anymore. And you know what? I believe her. I was just thinking last night that these snaps...
I mean, look at what he's posting. I mean, but Kat, that was the allegations, right? Is it's all a scam. Maybe there's some financial reason to actually get the divorce, but then they won't get the divorce and I don't know, they'll go away for a sec and then come back united and they'll be stronger than ever, right? But no, Catherine's saying, I'm not going back with that loser. I'm out. So that was good to see. So now, since there's no mod, let me go back and read your comments. Let's see what you guys had to say. Matt Married to Makeup says number one streamer. I don't know if you're referring to me, but if you are, thank you. Tom, you're the best. He knows what he's doing. Somebody else said he's unhinged. Somebody said he's a dork. Right, I think Riley hit it on that. She said mostly hinged. Crying Knife, I mean, making money this way is unhinged, in my opinion. Well, yeah, I think most of us would not have the stomach for this. I'm not built for drama, okay? Look, you know, there's certain things I won't talk about on here. You know, work stuff. I've got extreme anxiety for stuff going on there, but I won't talk about it on here. I don't talk about my kids or family. That's off limits. So I don't have the stomach, and you know, going on here, sometimes I'll say something without thinking about it because I'm just talking to you, and then the usually influencer who I'm talking about catches that and will throw shade at me on another podcast, which has happened too, and I hate that. So I am not built. You've got to be a special person to be able to do what Austin McBroom is doing right now, and it ain't me. Deborah says, laughing out loud, prayed up. Bro, I'm prayed up and I'm locked in, okay? That's all I know right now, people. I'm prayed up. Anyone in my circumference knows that I am good with the man upstairs and I'm prayed up. Can't wait. Sam says, can't wait to see the gray tank top look. Here you go. You got it right there. Let's show it again. The gray tank top with Catherine's women. Tell me what, I don't understand what that is. He said it was Catherine's. It's something for your hair, I'm guessing. But like, is it a do-rag? I don't even get what he's wearing. But I mean, he looks ridiculous. Austin always looks ridiculous. Even when he thinks he's looking fresh, he looks ridiculous. Amy D, love the hoodies. I need that in my life. What? Were we talking merch? Who did someone mention merch? Oh my God. What? Oh my God, we have merch? Get out of here. We have a new spring collection, people. Oh my God, it's amazing. Go check it out. I forgot to tell you before, too. It's 10% off everything this week until Sunday. New spring collection. The 8-bit Anxious Cat logo is by far the biggest seller. I'm wearing a hoodie right now. And the hate and disgust stuff we did, tees and hoodies, people love too, because my whole rant on Austin was said with hate and disgust, not with peace and love, people, with hate and disgust. And then we got other stuff. We got the original Anxious tank tops. We have anxiety tees. I made these anxiety tees because I have been going through like extreme anxiety, which I never really dealt with before. I'm bipolar too. So, but my swings are, it lives in mostly depression. So it's either like, it's super depressed to the my other way. It's not like bipolar one where I'm like running around the neighborhood with a knife in my hand naked. My other side is like super irritable. So the anxious I never really dealt with, but it's hit me so hard in the last like couple months. And I made a post about, I was supposed to go up to my wife's cousin's house to watch basketball. And I love her cousins. And as you know, the only manly thing I do is watch basketball. Okay. I don't watch football. I don't do anything. I can't fix anything. The only thing I do that's semi-manly is watch basketball. So I'd love to hang out and watch basketball. But for some reason on the way up there, it was about an hour drive, about 50 minutes in, I was getting so nauseous on the way up. And I was like not feeling right. that I pulled, I actually had to pull over and try to throw. I thought I was going to throw up, and I just couldn't go. I couldn't go to their house. I was like feeling all fucked up. So I drove back, and then I had to call them and tell them why I didn't go, which is embarrassing. So I was like, you know what? So anyway, I posted that on Twitter and it got a ton of engagement. So I was like, oh wait, I'm not the only guy with anxiety out there. So that's the reason the Tomcat logo started, because you guys called yourself Tomcat. So I wanted a cartoon Tomcat logo for the show. So I looked and I picked one, and for some reason, the scared black cat image I liked, and I didn't even make the connection. But then I was like, he's already a scared cat. Why don't we just put anxious underneath it? And then we can make actual shirts that say anxious to show, like, just like I posted on Twitter. It's nothing to be ashamed of. We shouldn't like have to feel like we have to hide it from the world. And I also donate for any of the anxious merch, 10% goes to NAMI, which is the National Association for Mental Health Institute. They have all those like 1-800 numbers you can call, or websites you can call when you're getting into things. So just a really good group I'd like to support. So I figure, why not take some of the profits and donate it to them? So anyway, that's my merch pitch. Crying knife. You drank too much coffee now and I feel super anxious. Yeah, a lot of coffee does that to me too. So you're scrapbooking and journaling at the same time? How is that possible? Like, do you like cut out pictures, glue them over here? Oh, wait, I got a thought. Go over to the journal. Hey, wait, hold on. What did Tom say? Let me rewind a sec. That seems like a lot of work. T-Bria, I'm also super anxious. Sam, we love the anxious Tomcats. That's cool. Amy D says, yeah, so real. I get more depressed than anxious. Yeah, that's how I've been my whole life. So this anxiety thing is new to me. So I don't like it. I've had panic attacks in the last month or so, which I've had in the past a couple times, but it is no fun if you never had one before. And LaCosta goes, anxiety chat. No. This is not turning into a mental health anxiety chat. It was just, I wanted to explain where the merch was coming from. That's all. So we have other fun stuff to talk about. But speaking of merch, all right, what do you think of this, guys? I got something for you. We're talking merch. Let's talk about some merch, people. Let's talk about, move myself over so you can see. Emily Mariko. I'm sure I'm pronouncing her name incorrectly, and I apologize, Emily. But she came to fame from the Salmon Bowl. If you remember, I don't know, a year ago, it was all the rage. She was on TikTok making a salmon bowl that everyone claimed was the most delicious salad bowl in the history of bowls. In the history of anything that has ever went in a bowl, cereal, pasta, rice, anything. Her salmon bowl was the greatest thing ever to enter a container of any kind. People were going insane for it. And I guess she comes from a wealthy background. I don't know what her work history was. I don't know if it's family money or what. But apparently she came from money. I was watching a couple of videos about it. And people were going ballistic over her tote bag that is $120. Now, for example, let's go back to, here we go. Okay, let's go back to my tote bag, okay? It's $30. It's not as wide. If I did the wider one, like her size, it would probably have to cost about $40, right? To make a little profit. I mean, you're not getting rich selling $40 tote bags. But $120? So people were going crazy, and she ended up selling out of the tote bag. But that could be misleading too, because a lot of times, actually everyone does this. So they release 10 tote bags, okay? And they get 10 idiots to pay $120 for them. And then it says, sold out. Like, whoo, sold out the first batch. Like, we're killing it, right? But they never tell you how many they actually made. So who knows? She could have made 10 tote bags and sold them, and she sold out, right? We don't know what the number is. But I was thinking about it, and if she wants to be a luxury brand, and if she thinks her audience can afford a luxury brand, then go for it. You know, knock yourself out. A friend of mine, Donnie Namias. Here, I'll show you. Let's go to Donnie. Give him a shout out. Now, there's my article on Donnie Namias. All right, so let's just go to his collections. Does it have prices? Let's see, shop. Okay, here we go. So, like, that's actually a dope jacket. I mean, it's $1,200, okay? I have some Namiya stuff, but they were gifted to me, so that's nice. I mean, t-shirts are like $250, $300. And, you know, I mean, there's a million other brands who do that. I interviewed the founder of Rude, Ruigi, and he's got, you know, Rude, which is a premium streetwear brand, as is Namias. And to be a premium brand, you got to have premium prices. It doesn't matter what your product costs to manufacture. You don't base it on that when you're in that market. You set it at a premium price, you know, kind of what the other big names are charging for. So for me, look, most of my audience are in their 20s and don't have a ton of money. Now, if you're outside that demo, that I'm saying that's like the largest segment. There's people in all segments, you know, watching this, which is cool. It's like a big party with all kinds of different people in here. But the biggest demo is people in their 20s for God knows why. But they don't have the kind of money to drop $250 on a t-shirt just because they like watching my live stream once in a while. So that's not even an option for me and what my brand is, right? My brand is, I'm just a regular guy. I had regular jobs. Somehow I fell into this YouTube world. Somehow I ended up going on the H3 podcast and getting a huge following from that. And my story is just, you know, hard work and luck kind of combined. But yeah, I'm just a regular guy. So I can't all of a sudden start dropping $300 hoodies. I mean, because no one's going to buy them. That's not my audience. But, you know, for her, if that's her brand and she's a premium brand, and most importantly, if she thinks her following, there's enough of them that'll pay those prices, well, shit, go get it, girl. I mean, I wish I could sell $120 tote bags all day. I mean, I'm just imagining the margins. I'm jealous as hell. So I don't know. That's my thoughts on it, at least. As a guy who does merch, who's interviewed, you know, not high fashion, but premium fashion brand founders. And so I kind of know that side of it too. So what do you guys think? Teddy Fresh, basically. Oh, are you saying Teddy Fresh is a premium brand? Yeah, their stuff's expensive, but not as bad as that, right? Cappy Naps 20s chat. No. If you're in your 30s, 40s, 70s, if you're, you know, 13, we want you here. We want as many people. We don't discriminate. We'll take anyone. But what do you guys think about that? Is she out? Is it outrageous, or is she just being smart and trying to make, you know, maybe it's a great tote bag? I don't know. Yeah, Douglas says, I say price is whatever your audience is willing to pay. That's what you charge. And yeah, you're completely right. What's Douglas Collins says Pokemon Maine is at it again. What's she up to? All right, so that's enough on that. The chat has slowed down. So it's time to move on, people. So what else we got? Now let's talk Taylor Swift. So I am terrified. I will not show a single clip of the Grammys because if you watch my Golden Globe stream, it was so fucked up. I'm in the middle of the Golden Globes, just watching it with you guys, and I'm commenting on the comedian at the beginning of the video, who was awful. He got killed in the press. Everyone hated him. The celebrities hated him. So I just wanted to watch the 10-minute monologue with you and pause and comment on the jokes and if I thought they were funny, if I didn't think they were funny, what you thought about them. So I get it on YouTube, right? On YouTube, I couldn't just play the 10-minute video, kick back, eat a sandwich, and then when it's over, then start talking about it. That doesn't work, right? Because basically you're stealing someone's work. But it's okay to make commentary videos, just like I did with T-Spill. I always make sure I give him a shout out, and I only play certain parts of the video and pause and comment, so I'm not stealing their content. I'm actually promoting their content and saying what a great job they're doing. But so anyway, so I'm maybe 3 minutes into talking about this guy's monologue, and all of a sudden, I use Streamlabs. So what's in front of me is I see a chat on the right side of the screen, and I see my face here and just some other settings on the sidebar and on the bottom. So all of a sudden I'm here, I'm still talking, everything's fine. And then I look in the chat and it's just, Tom, where'd you go? Where are you? The stream is not up anymore. It says stream stopped due to copyright infringement. And I'm like, what? Like, usually I've had copyright claims filed against me, like for using a clip that, you know, people, I've never got like a strike against me, but I've got like warned for using a clip, too much of a clip or something like that. But never, that happens after you post the video. So I have never ever seen or even heard of that happening in the middle of a live stream. So CBS, fuck you right in the face. I say that with hate and disgust. Hate and disgust from deep in my heart. So I had to, the stream, they stopped the stream, so it was down. But the video was still up for a day. I was like, okay, at least the first hour of the video before I started talking about Golden Globes is up, you know, whatever. It wasn't a complete waste of time. But then the next morning, I go to check it, and now it's blocked everywhere in the world. And no one can view it except for me. I'm like, I can't even share the link with somebody and they can watch it. So you got to appeal it. And I contacted YouTube, you know, support. I told them the story. They're like, everything's fine. You didn't do anything wrong. We just had our team look at it. You know, it'll be up. No problem. Well, it stays down for like 3 days. And then maybe a week later, I get the copyright strike has been removed. Your video is now available to watch. But fuck them. It was a week later. Everybody's over talking about the Golden Globes. So they fucked me out of the views and the revenue I would have got for that video. So fuck you, CBS. So the point of all this, I know you want to hear about Taylor. The point of all this is I am not showing a second of the Grammys because I don't want to deal with that. Okay, so fuck them. But I will comment on that. That you can't strike me on my comment on the Grammys. All right. So the first thing on the Grammys, right? Influencers were invited. Alex Earl was invited. She even posted. She's like, I don't even know why I'm going. I'm not connected to the music business at all. But the Grammys are smart. They want celebrities there, not just musicians. Look, Alex Earl, super popular TikToker, now major celebrity, basically. Has a successful podcast now too, so she's killing it. So why not? Plus, she's beautiful, so why not have a beautiful, famous person there? So they invite her out. So she got some shit for it, but she just said, "Hey, I got invited. I think it's cool. I'm going." So whatever. Trevor Noah did a great job in the monologue, much better than the guy at the Golden Globes. He even told a Taylor Swift joke, which is very dangerous because the Swifties can turn on you in a second. So he made the Taylor Swift joke and it went over. I don't even remember what it was, but she actually smiled, which that is a huge accomplishment from a comedian at an event like that. So that was good. Miley Cyrus won for Flowers. I have two daughters. I have heard that song a million times. I personally don't like the song. I mean, it's okay, but she won. Biggest controversy there. She didn't thank her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus. That was a huge thing in her acceptance speech. She didn't thank her dad. What does that mean? Does she not like her dad? Is she on the outs with him? Did he do something to her? Did she do something to him? Who gives a fuck? She didn't mention her dad. I didn't lose any sleep over it, nor should you. Olivia Rodrigo, I listen to either hip hop or indie music. So Olivia Rodrigo is not on my playlist, but she was up for 6 Grammys and won none. And, but I follow pop culture. She seemed big to have a huge year last year. I don't know. Should have won something, you think? Taylor Swift danced to Olivia when she was performing. Now, everybody thought there was a beef there. Now, I don't know about the whole beef history, but I was curious. So it sounded to me, I didn't do any more research than I had to. So I don't know what the original beef allegedly was, but Olivia Rodrigo ended up having to give Taylor Swift songwriting credits on 2 of her songs. So maybe that was it. Like, if someone helps you write a song and you're not crediting them, that's fucked up and they're going to be pissed off because that's money out of their pocket and time wasted, right? If you don't get songwriting credit, that's where the money is. So maybe that was it. I don't know, but she was dancing. Everybody thought that was a big deal. Thank God Olivia and Taylor are at not having beef. The world is fantastic. We can all go to sleep tonight. I say that with peace and love. So that was a big deal. Taylor won Best Pop Album. Taylor won Album of the Year, the most in history. She won 6 Albums of the Year, which is pretty freaking impressive. And she looked great. So Taylor killed it. Won a bunch of awards as she always does and deservingly show. And she announced she's got a new album dropping in 4 months. And of course the world goes crazy and ballistic because first of all, how does she even have the time? She's on like world tours. She's, living a celebrity life. Like how does she even have time to write an album, but I don't know, maybe she's a superwoman. Somehow she has that. That's her superpower. But the big thing was Jay-Z, when he accepted his award. Now I'm a big Jay-Z fan. When he accepted his award, he didn't mention any names, but he said that he knows a certain woman who has never won Album of the Year, but she's won 32 Grammys, more than anyone. And she's been up for Album of the Year 4 times. So obviously he's talking about his wife, Beyonce. They pan to Beyonce. Beyonce looks pissed. She's like, Jay, what are you doing? I don't need this in my life, right? But maybe that's just the face she put on. And maybe she's like, yeah, that's my man. that he's speaking the truth. I do. Where is my album of the year? But that's a great point. She's won so many Grammys. Not getting an album of the year once seems bizarre, but I don't know. I can't really comment unless I went through each year and who was nominated. And I don't know. Maybe they weren't the best albums for the year, but that did seem a little odd. So that got a lot of controversy. So that is my comments on the Grammys. Oh, you know what I love too? Is the Tracy Chapman and what's the dude's name? I don't listen to country music. Somebody tell me it's like the number one song in the country. I'm out of touch with the world. Who's the country guy she's with? Thank you, Luke Combs. Thank you, Riley. I loved the Tracy Chapman, Luke Combs performance. First of all, I remember, I'm old. I remember when the, you know, Tracy Chapman song dropped. I always thought it was a great song. And I always, you know, you see an artist and I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm weird. I always try to imagine like, what are they like just going to the store, just like, you're sitting watching a basketball game with them on the couch. Like, I wonder what they are when like the cameras are off. And she always like seemed like, and when she sang and stuff, she just seemed like she lived in this. I think she was probably in her 20s when she wrote the song, but she looked like she had so much pain in her face and like has been through so much and has lived so many lives that she always just seemed like, you know, she was always like that, like always like that woman with the acoustic guitar, like singing the fast car, like eyes squinted and looking serious. Like I just always pictured her that way for some reason, but seeing her and Luke together made me see her smiling. And I think she's appreciative that finally, I think 20 some years after the song was released, it was number one. And most importantly, she was the first black woman ever to have a number one song on the country list, which doesn't say much about black artists in country music, but that is a big accomplishment for Tracy. And I thought them trading verses was cool. And it looked like Tracy was having a good time and thanking the audience. And she really just seemed, you know, grateful and kind of emotional over the event. So I thought it was a beautiful thing. So people, that's all I got. That's all I got for you. What did we cover? Let's recap. We covered Austin McBroom. Covered him. We gave shout out to High Brew, who supplied me with cases and cases of this, which I drink every morning, and I suggest you do too. It is, you know, I've got anxiety, so it's probably not the best thing, but 225 milligrams of straight caffeine, which hits me immediately and gets me started in the morning. But I'm a cold brew snob, and I've been through every can of, you know, bought cold brew out there, and none are as good as these guys. You can drink, it's smooth. Usually strong cold brew is bitter and you got to put a ton of sweetener or milk or whatever in it. This you can just drink straight up out of the can. I put a little almond milk in it, but it's good. Go to Amazon, you can buy it on there. High Brew Coffee, check it out. And we pitched, most importantly, or just as important, we pitched my merch. And what a wonderful guy I am, right? So go check it out, thetomwardshow.com, 10% off everything until Sunday, and then it goes back to regular prices. I say that with peace and love, not with hate and disgust. So you can check out everything over there, and let's just hang out for 5 minutes and chit-chat before I go. What do you want to talk about? Ask me anything. I will answer, and I'm also going to stream on Friday because yesterday I couldn't do it. I had some family things, so I couldn't do it on my normal Tuesday, but I'm going to do it on Friday this week. So you're going to be with me for the Ward Pizza Night. I'm not going to waste it. Look, guys, I love you, but I'm not going to waste my pizza night with you, okay? I do say that with peace and love, not with hate and disgust. But, you know, I don't want to be on camera eating pizza. I want to enjoy it. I want to get my bowl of candy afterwards, you know, masterfully picked combinations of candy in a cereal bowl. So that's a lot of candy. That's a cheat meal for me. I don't want to be judged by you at all. But you'll get me pre-Ward pizza night, okay? And that's exciting. It's an exciting time to be alive. Friday nights at the Ward House is a great place to be. All right? We stuff our face with pizza and candy, and we watch movies. And isn't that great? I mean, I don't think there's anything I'd rather do. Tom, do I like pickles? No, I do not. I say that with hate and disgust. And actually, now you're getting me fired up. I mentioned that I hate beans. And look, I'm looking right in the camera. I say this with hate and disgust. I hate beans of all kinds. Whether they're pinto beans, which are the worst. Refried beans. Beans in any shape or form are gross, okay? I got so much hate for that take on my YouTube short that they actually, it's demonetized because it's sensitive content. So I don't know if, so I'm pissed. Now I want to know who reported me. Was it the Bean Growers Association of America? And that was slander against their product. And it could, I'm so influential, I could impact sales. Get out of here. Are you crazy? Me not liking beans is a controversial stance. Want to be writer? Yes. Yes. I tried to shake it, but I am from the Philadelphia area, 20 miles east of Philly in a little town called Chemung, which no one knows where it is, but it's like 10 miles from Cherry Hill, which you'll probably know. Even jelly beans. Gross. One of the worst candies. I put that at the bottom with like Pez. You know Pez with the little dispensers? It should taste like ass, okay? And you think the dispenser's cool at first when you're a little kid, but then you start eating the candy and it's gross, but you eat it anyway just because it's candy and why not eat it? And then you never refill it, and then you never play with the thing again, okay? So I put jelly beans in that category at the bottom of the barrel of candy. I mean, lower than the lowest tier. So yes. Want to be writer? Water. I can say water because I live in California now. And when I was 20 years old living outside of Philly, I would ask for water. Can I get a glass of water? It's hard for me to even say now. Excuse me, sir. Can I get a glass of water? That's how I grew up saying it, is water, like W-O-D-D-E-R. And when I moved eventually to Arizona, people didn't understand me when I was ordering water at a restaurant. So I really have to like over enunciate it when I pronounce it. LaCosta, I have the worst food opinions? I think you have the worst food opinions. How do we know yours are so great? What are your great takes? Let's hear them. I say that with peace and love. I'm just kidding with you. Tony Back, what are your thoughts on prunes? Now you guys are just fucking with me. Now you want me to just rip on every product out there. Prunes are awful. No one likes prunes. Old people eat prunes because I think it helps them poop or something. There's like some reason to eat them. But that's it. Do I have burgers or fried chicken for dinner? Now, Texas Poon Tapa, that's an excellent question. And I am qualified, even though I have not eaten chicken or hamburgers in probably 20 years. I was a vegetarian. Now I eat fish too occasionally. But fried chicken is the answer. Fried chicken is always the answer. Oatmeal raisin cookie, I'll eat it because, yeah, why not? But I like an oatmeal without raisin cookie. I don't like raisins. I don't like raisins. I don't like wrinkly fruit. Coco, you're getting married tomorrow? I wish I had sound effects. Congratulations. That's amazing. What advice do I have? I've been married 10 years. What do I know? Some days I feel like I know less than before I got married. But I think the advice happens even before you get married. You got to marry your best friend. I think that's the key, right? Because if you don't, then, you know, you could communicate great and you could, you know, work well together. But if you're not, like my wife is my best friend, you know, and it's really cool to hang out with your best friend all day. Now, sometimes you get pissed at your best friend and sometimes they're not so happy with you either. But, you know, eventually you weather that because there's a strong bond there. So my advice is, I guess it's too late if you decided not to marry your best friend and you decided to marry a casual acquaintance. Maybe this isn't very helpful, but that would be my advice to anyone getting married. What else? We got a couple more minutes for Q&A. Coco, he's your best friend, then you made the right move. So that's your first step. The second is just to listen and work on communication. That's the key. Katie, thank you. Nice hoodie. TheTomWardShow.com. They're available now, 10% off until Sunday. Brad, when was the last time I boxed? Like sparred? Before my back surgery 2 years ago. Right now, like, I can get through eight solid rounds on a heavy bag. But like before, when I never sparred like that much anyway, you know, I just spar occasionally. Cause it was always, first of all, I was the oldest guy at the gym. I loved the gym, and shout out to Pasadena Boxing Gym and Christian and Fausto and everyone there. They're the greatest. But it was great because it's like a city run gym, so it's not fancy at all. There's no AC in there and it gets hot as hell in the summer. And I was the oldest guy there by like 25 years, and I would spar and I would get the crap beaten up out of me by like some like 17-year-old kid, which is very, very humbling. But I always liked it because I always felt included. Like, I didn't feel weird being the old guy at the gym. You know, I just was one of the guys. So I was, it's funny. I just posted, I used this app Fight Camp. Shout out to Fight Camp now, which I use all the time because I'm not in good enough shape to really work out with a trainer yet. But Fight Camp, man, it's the greatest fitness app I've ever used without question. So even if your goal is not to be, you know, to spar or, you know, take it to that level, even if you just want to get in shape, or if you're into kickboxing, instead of just boxing, or if you're just looking for a new form of exercise, dude, it's the greatest. You can use an existing heavy bag, or they have these floor standing heavy bags that you can buy. And the problem with those, like they call them Bob bags. Like they're the old school ones. It's just like an orange, you know, guy cut out. Well, if you hit him with any decent power, you knock them over. Okay. So that's not good. But they designed these standing heavy bags. This is a pain in the ass to hang a heavy bag. I had to hire a guy to do it for me in my garage. So you can buy it. It sits right on the floor. And then the app is incredible. You can just do workouts. They have these gloves, these wraps. You need wraps on your hands when you box because you don't want to fuck up your wrists. And there you put a little sensor in them, and that sensor monitors your speed, how many punches you throw, and how powerful your punches are. So I'm competitive, so it like you can see your score versus the average during each round. And they have a million different, like, I don't even know if you call them, a million different sessions. So you can do, you know, power drills or, you know, combo buildup, or, you know, they have these courses now. I'm doing the second one, you know, beginner and advanced level. And they got like 15 lessons under each one. You do it one at a time. So shout out to Fight Camp. They're getting me back. And I just gave them a shout out. And then I told Christian too, I tagged him and said, I'm going to be back, buddy. I'm going to be training. I'm going to be back in that gym this spring. So I will be back. I say that with peace and love. Katie said, is that the app I've talked about before? Am I thinking of something else? I don't know. I don't think I've talked about a lot about health apps. I'm like a pretty motivated guy, so I never really needed a trainer. For boxing, I did because, you know, I don't know everything, right? And I need somebody to watch me and tell me what I'm doing right and wrong and, you know, work me out harder than I would. So for that, for boxing, I used a trainer, my man Christian. Shout out to him. But other fitness apps I've never really used. I would just lift weights. I'd build my own programs. I've worked out since I was a kid. Peloton, I guess we have Peloton. I use that during the pandemic. I guess that's not really an app, but no. So Fight Camp's the only fitness app I've really ever used. Oh, you, LaCosta, you are so right about the Megan and Nikki drama. I am loving it. And I don't believe I didn't have it on my list of today. I had work and I had a million other things. And I'm literally up at 5 a.m. Usually between 4:30 and 5 a.m. That's just when I wake up. And the first thing I do if it's a streaming day is I just go through YouTube and look at topics and stuff and write notes and, you know, pick clips I'm going to pull so that I can work and do my kids and do that shit the rest of the day. For some reason, I watched it the other day, but for some reason I didn't write it down or put notes. But yes, I will talk about that next week. What's my favorite Taylor Swift song? It's funny. I'm actually not a fan of Taylor's music. Now don't condemn me. Here we go. Tom Eltig. Tom, I can hear it now. Tom Eltig. Tom, we hate you. Tom, you're a piece of shit. Tom, you're just catering to Taylor fans so they like you. No, I'll tell you why I like Taylor. But there is one song I really do like. And my niece, shout out to Marley, put me in touch with it. Or let's see. It was on her last album. I'm in Spotify now. Where the fuck are her albums? No. Hold on, I'm finding it. Shit, what song is it? I thought I liked it on Spotify because I don't remember the name of it. Anti-Hero is my favorite song off of Midnight's 3 a.m. edition. Anti-Hero is my Taylor Swift jam. Was the suspense killing you people? Were you dying to know? What song could it possibly be? That rare time L, that's an L? Look, I am a music fanatic, okay? And I will tell you what's good, sir. You don't tell me what's good. I'm going to tell you what the best Taylor song is. And to me, it's Anti-Hero. I love it. And Jordan, I'll explain myself of why I like Taylor. Riley, at the edge of my seat. Breaking news, Tom T. Taylor. No, people. Look, I like Taylor not because of her music. I like her because of her work ethic and her dedication to her craft. I watched, I was sick or something, and I watched, it was embarrassing. I was, because I watch any music documentary. I love music, all kinds of music. I will watch a documentary about any band or singer, as trivial as they may be. I will sit through it and enjoy it. So I watched the Taylor Swift one. Is it Americana or something? Is that the one? And I talked about this too on a live stream. And so I watched it. Somebody comment if that's the name of the Americana. Riley, that's correct. Okay. So I watched that. Now, I didn't know much. I mean, I knew Taylor was a superstar. I knew who she was. Of course, she's a very famous person. And my niece was a Swiftie from day one. She had the bracelets. She's been to the concerts. So I knew, you know, the excitement around her. But, you know, just I'm not in that demo. I mean, that I wasn't her audience, or it just wasn't for me. That's all. But I watched the video, and at the end of it, I tweeted, I am a fucking Swiftie. I really am. And a couple, I had notes that I don't even remember, but the reason why I love Taylor, there's a couple of things. One was, you saw her at a young age working and going to every, you know, shitty mall performance or small radio interview that you get 2 minutes on a radio station, school performances. I mean, performing anywhere and everywhere. And it was the coolest thing, I think, maybe in the whole video, was she must have been 10 or 11 years old, maybe. And she was getting interviewed on this, I think, country station, maybe. And she played her song. And when she was done, the DJ said, hey, you know, that's crazy. You actually wrote that song, right? And she goes, yeah, I write all my songs. And he goes, what do you mean all your songs? She goes, oh, I've written about 150 songs. I was like, and she said it just, I fucking wrote 150 songs already. What have you done, asshole? Like, she said it with that kind of like confidence. I was like, I like this girl. Look at her. She, and it was funny, later in the documentary, she still has those journals of those songs. And the other thing I like too, as watching that video, is she's a real artist. And when I say real artist, when you look at, I don't want to offend anybody, but if you look at, insert pop star's name here, if you look at the songwriting credits for their hit song, there's going to be parentheses and there's going to be 10 people in it, right? And it's going to be produced by another 10 people, okay? So God knows, you know, if that artist who sung it wrote anything, right? And look, that's how the music business used to work before. At young people, I'm going to teach you a little history lesson. Like old school Frank Sinatra or Elvis or those guys, they didn't write shit. People, there were songwriters, And they gave them the song. Go, hey, asshole, sing this song, okay? It's a hit. You know, your job is to perform what we write. We don't want your songs. We got that covered. Until Bob Dylan and the Beatles started saying, no, we're writing our own songs. And they became hits. And other people go, well, shit, if they could do it, I'm going to write my own songs too. It's a lot better to tell my own story. So she legit, just like Bob Dylan or the Beatles or any of the classic artists out there, she writes her own songs. But also, if you're a musician, you know most songs, I'd say 99% of the songs are written on guitar or piano. And in the movie, she showed herself writing songs on an acoustic guitar and a piano. And I was like, dude, just seeing her like during her creative process was just inspiring. And then the fact that she was so, for so long, she was like just this kind of, I guess I didn't really like her because she was just so vanilla, you know, at the time, or that's the way I viewed her. She was just like a product, just like a kind of non-offensive product that companies could sell. Like, she's not going to say anything controversial. She's not going to make any, you know, take any stance on a controversial issue. She's not going to show up at a, you know, a wrong rally or anything like that. You're not going to catch her with her top off somewhere. Like, nothing. You're not getting that from Taylor, right? So, I don't know. To me, that just seems boring, right? Because real people, you know, have flaws. And it's like why Austin McBroom is winning right now is because he's showing all his, you know, his flaws and people seem to be loving it. But there was a part of the documentary where, I guess she was registered to vote in Tennessee. I don't know if she still lives there or that's just where she claims residency. I don't know, you know, for tax reasons. I don't know where she lives, but anyway, that's where she votes. And the person running and who was winning in the polls was like super anti-woman, like on everything, like wouldn't allow abortions under any circumstances. Like if you were raped and by your dad and impregnated, no abortion for you. Like wanted to shut down all the, you know, clinics in the state, like all these crazy, like anti-woman, you know, things he wanted to do. And she was super pissed off about it. And she wanted to talk about it. And it's funny, you see her in a boardroom, because you think like behind the scenes, the Taylor Swift business is a big fucking operation. And you see her, you know, talking to her team, and every one of her team says, no, do not take a stance. Whatever side you take, even say you took the stance on this guy who hates women, you're going to piss off half your fans. If you take the stance of the woman, the pro woman running against them, you're going to piss off half your fans. So you want to appeal to as many people as possible. So don't say shit. Well, she leaves the meeting and you see her a couple days later, you know, with her close team, you see her with like her parents and a manager, or maybe somebody else in her organization. And she just said, fuck it. I don't care what you say. It's my life. It's my image. It's my career. This is something I feel strongly about. Fuck it. I'm tweeting it. And then you see her on the couch with her mom tweeting it and just feeling like elated. Like she got to really express herself without handlers getting in the way. And she could say exactly what she wanted to say to the public and post it and live with the reaction, right? Because I don't know how people reacted, but I'm guessing half the audience, maybe in Tennessee, hated her for that. And maybe they'll never buy an album again. She was like, well, fuck it. I don't want them anyway. So for those reasons, that is why I'm a Swiftie. So did I pick the right song as my favorite Taylor song? I don't know. That's the one I like. But that explains why I'm a Swiftie. Now, does that qualify to the Swiftie community as me being a member? I mean, I don't have the bracelets. I mean, send me some bracelets. I know that's a thing. You know, I'll wear them proudly. I'll be, you know, the only bald 45-year-old guy wearing Taylor Swift bracelets. But yeah, that's, I love her to death just from watching that documentary. All right, hold on. Let me go back. I'm sure there's lots of chat. Oh my God. Let's see. Okay, some praise on my song. Jordan says, okay, oh my God, Midnight's such a good album. Riley, nah, that's a vibe. Okay. Texas Poon Tappa says, okay, period. Crying Nike says, I like the anti-hero music video. Makes me laugh more. I never saw that. People telling me, don't blame me, I should listen to. Riley saying, I'm correct. Wow. Thank you, Riley. Crying Knife, ooh, says she hates Taylor Swift, the fan base. I do not. I am smart enough to not publicly talk in a negative way about her fan base at all. At all. I need as many people possible, and I don't want to lose Swifties. And that's true. Lynn says not many pop artists can say they've written all of their own songs. I don't think there's one who can say that. Name them. Yeah, she is. Crying Knife says, yeah, she is. I mean, I said she still kind of is. I think she talked like she still is kind of middle of the road, non-controversial. But that's also her appeal, too. Oh, yeah, Lynch, that was a good point. This guy was awful. He was also against the fair pay for women law. Like, women should be paid as much as men. Hell no, I disapprove that. Are you insane? So I think that is all, guys. Thank you. I spent an hour and a half with you tonight. It was fun. I say that with peace and love. I will be back Friday for Ward Pizza Night. Now I got to go eat dinner. I got to put my kids to bed. I got shit to do. So I got to leave you now. But go make sure you subscribe. Make sure you turn on notifications so you get notified when I stream. And check out, take advantage of the 10% off sale of all merch, updated spring collection on thetomwardshow.com. You guys are the best.